good morning. We're going to be doing things a little differently this morning, and I think I have the wrong number for At Calvary. Is it? Could you look in your hymnals? Is it 138? We're going to actually be using our hymnals this morning, so you need to grab your hymnal, and that's what we're going to be singing it of, since you can't see the screen behind me. And if someone would tell me, I think I've got the rest of the numbers, but I don't have... 138. All right, so please turn to 138 if you would. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I'd spurned. Till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own Him as my King. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden soul found liberty. For now, this next song is an old chorus called Lord Be Glorified, and I'd like to use it as a time to pray for the camp this coming week to continue our prayers. I know we've already been praying. You'll recognize this. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. In my song? In my song, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my song, Lord, be glorified. In your church, Lord. In your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your church, Lord, be glorified today. In this camp, Lord. In this camp, Lord. Be glorified in this camp, Lord, be glorified today. Let's finish with In My Life. In my life, Lord, be glorified. seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thompson's going to do an announcement.
On June 29th, we have Fifth Sunday Fellowship after morning service game night at 6 p.m. And on July 1st, we have small group Bible study on Faith Foundations by David Platt. And that's it.
It is camp day. Hey, no, I'm excited. So we're going to the jungle. I guess you can tell that. Listen, if adults, if you are working in camp and you do not know yet what you're doing, which there's probably several of you, see me after church. Some of you should know what you're doing, I hope. but there might be a couple of you that don't know yet. You're probably guides or something like that, but I'll let you know what color group you're in. But it will have to be out there where all my stuff is. So it's going to be a great week. Thank you. Oh, my goodness. We have had an amazing outpouring of adult workers, and I'm so, so thankful. So we're going to have a great week, and if you're not here, please be praying for us. We'll covet your prayers. Thanks so much.
All right. Will y'all pray with me? God, I pray for this camp and the kids and the workers. God, I pray you just move in our hearts and those kids that are coming here, God, that need to hear you and hear your word. God, I pray we can show them that. God, I pray for Brother Wade and the message he's going to bring this morning. God, I pray just speak to us and what we need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, shall we stand and greet one another this morning? Wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word brought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith in him. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him again that day. All right, our next song is number 261. Number 261 in your hymnals. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner lifts to the loving call wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Amen. You may be seated. While our men are coming forward to take our offering this morning, I want to welcome you to Osage Baptist Church. We're glad you're here. If this is your first time visiting us, there's a blue envelope in the pew in front of you. We'd love for you to fill out so we can have a record of your visit. We appreciate you doing that and putting it in the offering plate as it comes by. One of our men will come down and lead us in prayer.
Dear Lord, we just want to thank you today for letting us come to your house and worship you. And I just pray that you'll bless this offering we're about to take. And I just want to thank you for blessing our lives so we can give back to you. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
and Children's Church this morning? Yes? No? Yes? Okay, children can be dismissed for Children's Church then. All right, Brother Wade.
Well, good morning, everybody. I was staying quiet just a moment and watching them all go out. I know we got a few extra kids, but we usually have quite the parade of kids going out, which is always good. So, and if you guys haven't caught on, we're having camp this coming week. And I was looking at the different things, the different decorations, and everybody's been, I mean, Kim said it, a lot of workers, a lot of things going on, but it's just, it always amazes me, or has not stopped amazing me, just how much everybody does. And if you haven't been to the back, there's a big mural back there that, I'll just say Marge made it or painted it, and she's probably not wanting me to call her out on it, but she did a great job on it. And other decorations, I'm not going to name everybody that was here. You can see the pictures I took because Donna was sitting there painting something on the floor the other night, and she said, you should go around and get pictures of everybody working. So I took a picture of Donna, and she's like, no, hey, what are you doing? I said, hey, it was your idea. So, if you're going to come up with an idea, you're going to participate. So, right, Donna? I don't know if she's in here. Is she even in here? I can't see through the vines. So, some of y'all, I probably shouldn't tell some of y'all back there, like, the 40 Bunch and the Fultzes, that they could go to sleep, but I would never know it this morning, so, because I can't see them. So, but I did notice that, Kim come up here and I really thought she was calling chimpanzee or something. I thought she was going to go full out on it, but she didn't. So we got the gorilla there and we have this large rodent over here, and I can't think of what it's called, but I've seen him in the zoo, and I think that's life size. Anybody know what that is? It's what? Well, those girls said is what it is, and anyway, everybody's doing a great job on decorating and putting in. And if you don't have any, or if you have kids that you know aren't coming, invite them. So apparently there is an age limit, though. I've gotten in trouble. I've been inviting kids that aren't of the age limit to come. So apparently there's, what's the age groups? All right, so out of second, like if you're going into second grade and not over, and hadn't went out of sixth grade, right, all right, so that's the kids that, if you're invite those kids, so, all right, I think I got that right still. All right, well, I can't think of anything else here. Do what? Well, I was bragging on it. I realized Tom, what I was going to hold out on was seeing if it stayed up, because Tom was putting the screws in it the other day and I was holding boards. So, but we'll go ahead and give a round of applause for today. How's that? So, I was going to mention Tina was back there painting footballs, and I didn't know why she was painting footballs the other night, but apparently they were leaves. And now I see that. And then I did notice an Easter egg. If you're playing a video game or stuff, they have what they call Easter eggs, little hidden gems in there that's a throwback to something else. Did anybody else notice the Easter egg? What I would call an Easter egg? So the since 1959, right? Who did that? Whose idea was that? Is it really? Isn't that when the church started? Was it in 1959? Mike, you were here. What did he say? 60. Oh, well, anyway. They thought about it in 59, so. And I thought, man, that was really good detail. But anyway, took a little something out of it. It's still a good job. All right, let's get to it this morning. You know, there was a pastor that he decided the church needed painting. So he went out and he thought, I only have a budget to get 1 gallon of paint. So he bought a gallon of paint and he took it out and he thought, this will be enough. And he painted a wall of the church. And he realized that he had used half the paint and only one wall of the church. So he went and found some paint thinner and he mixed in and he thinned it up and he painted the rest of the church. And he thought, that looks pretty good. And then it rained. And only one side was still painted. And he said, Lord, what have I done wrong? And he heard a voice that says, repaint and thin no more. So anyway, that may or may not have been a true story. We do have our scripture this morning. I don't have it up on the screen, but we're going to start in Luke chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. We're going to read some more, but I'll ask you all to stand as we read the initial verses here this morning. It said, Jesus said to his disciples, things that causes people to stumble are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones to stumble. So watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. If you would join me in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do just thank you for the blessings that you have given us. We thank you for this day. We thank you for the weather looking like it's going to be good for camp this week, Lord, and we just thank you for that. Lord, I want to lift up those that are working this week and attending, Lord, and just pray that you would just be with them as we go through studying your word and learning about you and having a good time. Lord, I just pray that you would guide that and just watch over and keep safety on everyone spiritually and physically, Lord. Lord, I ask that you be with those that maybe you're here needing your comfort or not here needing comfort this morning for various things, that things that are on our prayer list also, Lord, that need healing and direction. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You all be seated. All right. So, you know, I'm going to focus here on the last part. He says, even if they sin against you 7 times a day, if they come back and say, I'm sorry, I repent, you're to forgive them. And, you know, when you read that, and that kind of jumps out, and you know, many of us will hear that and we'll say, that's not that hard, right? That's pretty easy to do. Just keep forgiving people, right? No matter what they do to you. Some of us will read that and be like, well, that's pretty tough teaching. That's going to be hard to do, right? As we look at that, we're in different places, and some of us are going to find it more difficult to forgive someone over and over and over for doing the same thing if they repent. And we may even start saying, well, if you truly were sorry, you'd stop doing it. Some of us may say, there's no way that I'm doing this without any more faith. I've got to have more faith in order to be able to do that. And if you're in that situation, you're going to be just like the apostles, because the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Verse 5. You know, they said, Lord, we're going to need more faith in order to be able to do that. And this morning, I'm wanting to look at two things, really. We're going to look at faith and we're looking at obedience and kind of faith and obedience and how they kind of line up sometimes or all the time. So he's saying, the disciples, the apostles are saying to the Lord, increase our faith. And he replied to him, he says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. So Jesus tells them that if you have just a speck of faith, I mean, when we're talking about the faith of a mustard seed, and I won't get into all that idea, but the mustard seed is the smallest seed that I'm aware of. And it's a very small seed, about the size of a dot of a pen, like a ball in a ballpoint pen, give or take. Pretty small. And it grows to be one of the largest garden variety plants. So it has the potential to go wherever. But it's a very, very small speck. And I think that's what he's focusing on when he says this. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, if you have just the smallest bit of faith, you can say to this mulberry tree, you know, just be uprooted and go into the sea. Now, I don't know how you guys, when you guys read that, I mean, I'm a very visual person, so when I read that, you know, I'm thinking of a flying mulberry tree going up and flying over into the sea. And I got thinking about that. I thought, you know, maybe it isn't flying. Maybe it just walks, you know, maybe by the roots. However it happens. I don't know logistically how this tree is going to go into the sea. And as I ponder that, I realize I'm missing the point thinking about a flying mulberry bush, right? He's saying that even the impossible is possible when you have just the smallest bit of faith. Because I looked and I thought, you know, Jesus says this, and he says, you know, when he's referring to this, is there ever an instance where someone told a tree to move and it moved? And the only thing I could find, and somebody may correct me, but the only thing I could find is where Jesus said to the fig tree to wither. He said, you know, he cursed the fig tree and it withered. And that's the only thing I can really find when it had to do with plants for doing it. But I think if we get stuck on that, we can miss the point of he's saying the impossible is possible if you have a little bit of faith. Now, why? If he said it's possible and no one ever made the mulberry tree fly off into the ocean, I'm going to say that's only because it was never in God's will for a mulberry tree to fly off in the ocean. Right? Because if they had this the smallest speck and they're praying in God's will, he's saying it's possible. I'm going to believe him. You know, they healed people when it was in God's will to heal people. They cast out demons whenever it was in God's will to cast out demons. They raised people from the dead when it was in God's will to do that. And I believe, like I said, that this too would have happened if it was needed. I just don't see any time that it was recorded that it was needed. You know, I do know of an instance, though, where this woman had a mountain that was in her way. She had some property. I don't remember the details of why the mountain was in her way, but she had this mountain, and she wanted it gone. And she grabbed that scripture that said, if you say to this mountain, move, and it'll move. And she grabbed that scripture, and she said, I'm going to just pray that this mountain will be moved. And she started praying that the mountain would be moved. And she gets a knock on her door one day, and these folks were needing some field dirt. And they asked to buy her mountain for field dirt because it was close to where they needed to fill a big spot to build like a mall or something. She got paid for her mountain to be moved. She got the mountain moved, and she got paid for the mountain to move. And I remember my uncle told me this happened over in Russellville, and he was telling me the story, and he knew the woman and told me the story. And I thought, you know, logistically, one might say, well, the Lord didn't move it. The folks building the mall moved it. But even better, the Lord said, hey, I'm going to move your mountain, and you're getting paid for the field dirt, right? You know, the mountain got moved when she started focusing with prayer and saying, I have the faith that you can move this mountain. But I think also, not to miss, as I read this, I don't see that Jesus is just saying that it takes a lot of faith for this to happen. He says, if you have the smallest speck, right, of faith, this will happen. And they're saying, well, I can't forgive my neighbor over and over and over when they repent. I need more faith. And I see it, Jesus saying, you don't need more faith. And then he goes on to say, in verses 7 through 10, he says, suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant, when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down and eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink, and after that you may eat and drink? Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. See, I think he was saying to him, you don't need more faith to be forgiven. You just have to remember your place. You have to remember that you're a servant, and it's your duty to forgive these people. That's your role. A servant isn't thanked for going out and doing their duty. They're expected to do their duty. You know, we look at this, how does that go to us? Well, you know, we have the obligation as believers to know the word and obey the word. You know, we have that as servants, we are to obey the word. And he's saying, like I said, they don't need more faith to do this. They just need to remember where they are. He follows up, you know, with that and says, well, I guess the point I wanted to make here, that you should also say, right? He's saying you should also say what the servant says. You should also say that when you have done everything you were told to do, you should say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done our duty. If we think of that, how does that change the way we go about life? If I'm thinking of myself as I'm just an unworthy servant, does that change my perspective? Does that make it easier for me to forgive people when they sin against me? Because if I'm just an unworthy servant, that places me in a more humble position. Because when people sin against me, they're not directly sinning against me. Yeah, their sin may have hit me, but who are they sinning against first? They're sinning against God first. And if he can forgive them, being worthy, being the master, then me as an unworthy servant, I'm obligated to forgive them, right? I'm no better than they are because I have too sinned against other people and asked for forgiveness. I've sinned against him and asked for forgiveness. And he was forgiving. He showed me grace. And if me as an unworthy servant, the same as them as unworthy servants, are asking forgiveness from a holy God that I've sinned against that shows grace, shouldn't I more so show grace to those that are also unworthy servants? Because if I don't, then I'm trying to elevate myself above the status that I'm in. I'm trying to make myself more important to say, well, God can forgive them, but I'm not going to. What does that put me in perspective? It's elevating my status above Christ's status in a way. It's making my perspective of myself not be what it truly is. And I think as I read this, I'm reminded that I am that unworthy servant. I'm doing, I am to do my duty. You know, when do we need faith? I think is another question we could pull out of this. When do we need to have faith? You know, when God doesn't show us everything that he has planned, we need to have faith. Sometimes things happen in our lives and we don't know what's around that corner. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know God's plan. That's when we need faith. When life throws us uncertainty, and it does a lot, we need to have faith. We need to have faith that God is going to be faithful in his word, in his promise. We have security in him. We know it's going to be okay, and we have faith that he's got it all under control. You know, yesterday we've seen actions that happened that may continue that start that people have been talking about. World War III could be around the corner, right? And it could not be. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying we see things that give us a moment of uncertainty. But we have certainty as believers. It really doesn't matter what happens next because we know what happens in the end. And I know in the end, no matter what happens to me, I'm secure in Christ. So I have to have faith when uncertainty happens. I don't have to have faith to do what I know I'm supposed to do. There's a difference between faith and obedience. And he's saying obedience kicks in whenever these people are repenting and I'm telling you to forgive them. That's where obedience is. And then there's faith. Faith is when uncertainty is. Obedience is whenever it's clear. And sometimes we want to mix the two and we say, well, my faith's a little weak because actually our obedience is a little weak. You know, do we have to have faith to follow the Ten Commandments? When we look at the Ten Commandments, do we have to have faith not to steal or murder or blaspheme or whatever falls into all the things we know not to do? We don't have to have faith not to do those. We have to have the obedience because he's clearly stated what we're not to do or what we are to do. And I think that's the point that he's making to the disciples. You know, how often, like I say, do we confuse the difference between we need more obedience instead of need more faith? We want to say we need more faith and we just need more obedience. You know, the mulberry tree, which I believe could have flown into the ocean or walked into the ocean, whatever move it needed to make if it was told to go, did it need faith to move into the ocean? Or to the sea, as the scripture said? No, it needed obedience, right? You know, it just needed to obey. And he's saying it would obey because of the faith that they had. So as sometimes, you know, we need to be moved. We need to be moving towards wherever the Lord puts us or tells us to go. We don't need the faith. We just need the obedience to do it. Verse 6 specifically said, it will obey, right? But if you tell it to do, it will obey and be moved. You know, so he says here with this the speck of faith. But what can we accomplish with obedience to Christ? You know, we focus a lot on the faith of a mustard seed, and we're saying, man, if I just had that little speck of faith, I could do this. Or if I just had that little bit of faith, if I could do that. But what about if we had just a little bit more speck of obedience? What if we just said, Lord, you commanded me to do these things, and I'm going to do it? I may have shared with the story with you guys, and if I've already shared this story with you before, then I'm sharing it with the visitors that are here that haven't heard it before. Amen. I had a guy come into the store one day, and he had been dead for 45 minutes. Dead. He'd been in a van wreck. It throwed him out, face down in the mud, and the ambulance crew said he'd been dead for about 45 minutes. It was in the cold, and they resuscitated him. And He told me some things, and he said, you know, the one thing I know is the Lord's brought me back. I just don't know what he wants me to do. I just don't know what purpose he brought me back for. And I said, well, you know, I would first say, do you believe in Christ as your personal Savior? And he said, well, yeah, I believe he has a purpose for me. I believe he's a Savior. I said, well, then you need to be searching for the calling that you have, right? Like, what is he calling you to do? And he said, I just don't know. He said, I'm looking for that. And I said, well, we all have a calling for one important thing, the Great Commission, right? We're all called to go and make disciples and spread the gospel, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning. You know, There's the three pieces of the Great Commission is make disciples and baptize and teach. We're all called to do that. So even if we don't have anything else, we can be obedient to that. What if we had just a speck of obedience to that or anything else that he's calling us to do? He goes on, he says that the servant isn't to be thanked. And I was thinking, after we pay our taxes, did you all get your IRS thank you note? Did the IRS send you guys a thank you note? I don't think I've ever gotten one, right? Because I'm expected to pay my taxes. I might get a note if I don't, amen? But I don't get a thank you note for doing what I'm expected to do. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And I think that that scripture, if no another, kind of sums up the whole point of the Bible. Now, that doesn't mean that you can learn that scripture and not read the rest of your Bible, so don't take that out of context. Amen? But it kind of sums it up. God loves the world so much that he sent his Son, and all the scriptures point to that purpose, point to that one thing. I think everything, you know, so the word, though, that I want to bring out there is believe. And I think so much we take that word believe and we kind of water it down to only like the preacher, you know, Peyton. He thinned a little too much. I think sometimes we thin that word just a little too much and we don't get the full meaning of what that word means. But, you know, we look at believe so much that we seem to think that there's like maybe two tiers of Christians, if you will. You have the believers that are on fire for the Lord or completely sold out or whatever term we want to use for that, that are just, they look like they're just all geared up and ready to go. And we might even get in our mind that, you know, those, they're like super Christians, right? I mean, I knew a guy I ran around with one time and he said, you could tie him to a cactus in the middle of the desert and he'd witness to the first lizard to come by. All right? And I thought that was exaggeration until I ran around with him a little bit. And I believe that he would. And you look at some folks like that and you think, sometimes we get the idea, oh, they're super Christians, right? Or they've got so much more faith than I do. Is that the case, or are they just more obedient to what we're called to do? That word believe, though, like I said, we thin it down a little bit. It comes from a Greek word, and some of y'all that might know Greek could probably correct me on pronunciation, but it's spelt best I can tell, P-I-S-T-I-S, with a little squiggly over the second I, and I think it's pronounced pistis. And that comes from that Greek word. It means several things, but one of those things that it means is to commit. And I think, like I said, maybe we kind of water it down sometimes and we get to the simplest form in English to believe, which simply means to accept the word as evidence of something. And we can sometimes get to the point that we just think that believe just means I just have to accept it, right? I have to accept that it means something and that is the point of belief. When really, when you get down to the Greek meaning, it means that I have to commit and be committed to what I say I believe, to be committed to that belief. And there's a difference, and I think that when we look at that, you know, we are to have more than just accepting of the fact that John 3:16 is true. We have to believe that John 3:16 is true. We have to believe and commit ourselves to the fact that God sent his only Son to save the world, and that is the only way we receive salvation. You know, we don't often want to step out of our comfort zone or out of our normal routine, you know, but I think we're commanded to do so. I think he's telling the disciples here that those things that come naturally to us, we have to overcome them. It's natural for us not to want to forgive someone, but we have to be able to forgive someone. And our last excuse may be like the guy I was talking about of why maybe we don't obey, is we just don't know what to do. But the first thing we need to do, I think, is to read our word and follow those things that are clear to us. The first thing we read here, he said, there's all kinds of things in this world that lead people to sin. He said, though it'd be better that you be cast in the ocean with a millstone tied around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to sin. It'd be better for us to drown in the sea. And then he says, so watch yourself. And I think that's a warning, right? He's saying, watch yourself that you don't cause one of these little ones to sin. Watch yourself in your actions. Watch yourself in how you interact with others. So I'm going to ask you this morning, are you being obedient to what the Lord has called you to do? So often we have the faith. We have enough faith, the faith of a mustard seed, right? We know who Christ is. We have that faith to know that God sent his only Son to save us from our sins because we weren't able to. We weren't capable. And we have that. But are we obedient to what comes next? Maybe you've accepted that. Maybe you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just being convicted of the fact that you need to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Something that we don't talk about very much is maybe you've done both of those things. Maybe you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Maybe you have been baptized, and maybe you just haven't been following the path that he knows you need to follow, or that you know he's told you to follow. You know, we don't talk about rededication much anymore. I don't hear that much, but maybe we just need to recommit and say, Lord, I realize that you call me, you save me, and I've not been the believer that you want me to be, but that's going to change now and today. I'm going to ask Matt to come up. He's going to sing a song. We're going to sing a few verses of that, and while he's doing that, if you're here this morning and any of that hits you and you say, Lord, I need to accept you as my Savior, I'm going to ask you to come up. Maybe you're here and you say, Lord, I've accepted you and I just need to be more faithful and I want to make that a public commitment. I want prayer, whatever it is. I'm going to ask you to come up and talk to me about that as well. Maybe you just need to come up and pray about something else. Then we don't have the bench here, but we got the steps. So what are we singing?
287.
287, if everybody's saying. I could have asked you what number this morning.
That's right. That's right.
Take my life. Lead me, Lord, take my life, lead me, Lord, make my life useful to Thee. Take my life, lead me, Lord, take my life, lead me, Lord, make my life useful to Thee.
1 o'clock today, we're gonna start our kids camp. So 1 to 7, starting today, ending on Wednesday. So that's the dates and times. So as we leave this morning, remember to pray for the camp. Whether you're gonna be able to be a part of it or not, be a part by praying for the camp, praying for those that are leading and those that are receiving. And those that are doing both, right? Hopefully everybody that's leading is getting a little receiving while we're serving. With that, Tom, would you dismiss in word prayer?